Yo,
yo.
What's up, man?
Is it picking up for you? Can you hear everything all right?
Yeah, I can hear everything great.
Hell yeah. So this is Conscious Cast episode number 21 here with Ken Flora. Did I pronounce that right, brother?
Yes, Ken Flora.
I know you from other names.
Yeah, a couple different ones.
Say what?
I said a couple different ones. You know, they've gone over some changes over the years. It's been a minute, though.
I'm trying to think of the last time. What, were you at Paramount through 8th grade?
I wasn't there for 8th grade, but I was there from, like, 4th through 7th.
Word. So that would have been 7th grade would have been the last time I saw you. That's a long fucking time ago.
Yes. Like, it was 7th grade, because I remember I used to hang out with you, Helen, Jaron Yarbrough, if you remember him.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I just, like, disappeared.
What was the reason for your moving?
Honestly, my mom just decided to move to South Carolina for a job, and she didn't tell us until, like, the summer was over, and our family had brought us back to her in South Carolina. I was like, oh, so we're staying here. So I didn't have any idea that, you know, that was going on. I thought I was coming back to Paramount to be with all y'all and go to, like, to Portage Central High or whatever that shit was going on. But life took a different turn, and I ended up here.
How was that a smooth transition, or was it not a smooth transition?
A little bumpy. You know, we stayed in a hotel for about a good, like, 3-4 months. Waiting on our house to get ready. So that was a chore. But otherwise, I think I've adjusted pretty well. I've made a pretty good life here for myself, and I'm just trying to do the best that I can.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. So, like, I'm trying to think. Obviously, you know, middle school and high school are two very different things. But you were in middle school here and you went to middle school for the one last year in South Carolina. Do you think things were dramatically different in the South as opposed to being in Michigan, or not too dramatically different?
I mean, as far as, like, the kids go, not really, but the grading curve really hit me. That was an adjustment, because I was used to getting, like, oh, I could just do this, and then bam, that's like a B or like a high C. Here it's like, oh, that's a D. And I was like, oh, I have to try. I have to try now. I have to try harder now.
Yeah. That's a good thing, though, really. I mean, I'm sure we view it the same way that, you know, the modern school system is completely fucking flawed, and that, you know, we can go on and on about that. But I do have respect for schools that generally, you know, have a higher curve in that aspect, because you should. That's just something that follows throughout life, is that the amount of effort you put into something dictates the outcome. And if you have a curve, like you're saying, you could barely try and get a C or B. You know, that's really just teaching you bad habits for life, bottom line.
Yes. I had to kick that habit a while ago, so I had to adjust. And then after I adjusted, after those, like, maybe first 2 months of me actually, like, oh, failing, and like, okay, I'm failing classes that are of material that I've already learned. So I need to get my ass up and do something before I end up flunking out of high school or fucking failing 8th grade. Man, that's not a good look.
Absolutely. Did you have a fairly decent or high GPA at the end of high school? Mine, I honestly, I feel like my GPA was like fucking like 3.3. I was like, you know, average, I guess, in high school overall.
To be honest, mine was about like a, I want to say a 2.7, 2.8, only because, like, after sophomore year, I kind of stopped trying. I started working more, and I started focusing more on, like, my entertainment side of, like, my music, and, like, trying to make beats and all that. So my grades kind of fell, but not because I didn't know what I was doing. It's because I focused on something else more.
Right, right. That's something, man, that I wish I would have I didn't really get on that way. You know, my personal endeavors outside schooling until years after high school. I took like 2 years off of high school before I decided to go to community college and end up, I did one semester and then dropped out and went back for another semester a year later and dropped out before I finally realized that, basically along the lines of what you were saying, you know, my focus was on things outside of school. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm doing financial aid just to pay for these classes. And if you don't pass the classes, then you have to pay for them. So I'm just like barely passing my classes just so I have more time to focus on shit that I want to focus on. And I'm like, man, if that's my attitude, my outlook, really, I should just drop out of college and focus on what I'm actually wanting to put my energy into.
Yeah, I agree. Because now if you want to do both, like I say, you have to give equal time to both. So like,
right.
There's a way to balance. You just got to find your balance. And that's with anything in life. Balance is key to maintaining a healthy outlook on life, having all that positive energy around you.
Absolutely. Oh, something real quick, side note, major side note. I can't remember the term that this app uses, but so you're in South Carolina right now, and I'm in Michigan right now, and we're doing this podcast through this app. I've only done this one other time, but I'm so open to doing this more because it really, you know, it gives a huge advantage for podcasting because I don't have to fly to you. You don't have to fly to me, and we're still making this app. I think that's dope.
Yeah, this is very dope. I didn't know this app existed until you told me about it. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Because yeah, I saw the message you posted on Facebook, I believe. I was like, I would love to do this. I haven't seen Will in like years, and I felt out of touch with a lot of people from Michigan after a while. And I was like, it would be nice to, you know, reconnect, see, because I've watched a couple episodes of your podcast before. I was like, I like this. This is nice. It's funny, and like, it's very insightful. It's like, I want to see if I can join and like help grow the audience for your podcast or just come in and talk, because I liked it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. It's you know, it's a beautiful thing being able to connect like this, and that's my whole goal really, is to, you know, be insightful and try and give people platforms to come and talk, you know, whether it's just something you want to say or for something you want to advertise, you know, whatever, you know, it's an open floor really, you know. I'll do episodes by myself and just rant, but really the goal of the whole podcast is I want to entertain people and I want to give people information that can be helpful to their life. And that's, you know, that can be done by myself, but that can be done even further with, you know, a guest, multiple guests at a time, you know. I don't want to put any limits to the style of the show, really.
Word. See.
So what if are you in college or have you been in college in South Carolina?
Currently I'm not in college. I'm planning to go back to a community college and finish up and get my business degree, because I had to take some time off and I fucked myself up with going to college right after high school. I moved away from my mom, trying to just be, you know, a rebellious kid. Like, all right, I got to get away from my parents. So I went to this school in Florida called Full Sail, which is like aligned with my goals and what I wanted to do. But it fucked me over at the same time because I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't taking a lot of things seriously, and I ended up flunking out. So I had to come back here, take some time off, and started working, you know, doing a little side work for my music, like writing a couple songs for some people, making a couple beats, selling them here and there, just trying to grow my brand little by little. And so right now I'm about to get back into college, hopefully by the fall, and finish up my business degree and get a business started.
Oh yeah. So what are you looking at? Are you looking at like a music production business, or what kind of business are you looking to start?
Well, I've had a couple different ones I've planned out already. So one of them is like a talent agency for people that, you know, it's a talent agency. So I wanted to run one of those. Have a little startup for like other artists around South Carolina or other indie artists that wanted a smaller home instead of going to the big cats, and just, you know, being able to express themselves more freely and have more control over their music. Because I know how that is with the bigger industries. They'll like, oh, they'll give you this much money, but they own like all your rights to your music. They own all your streaming, and you only make money off of merchandising and touring. I want you to have more control over when you get to put out your albums, what type of music you're going to make, all that's all you, because you're the artist, so you deserve that vision.
Yeah, totally. So what have you been doing more so now, like producing for other people, or just like, so you, I assume you produce your own music then?
Sometimes I'll produce some of my own music, and then sometimes I'll just go off of beats that I see online that are free, right, or I'll do like a freestyle to like other artists that are already like popular. Like, yeah. I have one from, I think, 2 or 3 years ago of Joey Badass, where I did a freestyle to 95 Till Infinity.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah.
It's a good song. I was born in 95. What year were you born?
95, bro.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
See, right at the cuffs.
Yep. This is a good year.
But another thing I wanted to talk about was like, just, this has been weighing on my mind a little bit, so I thought it would be a great time to talk about this and maybe get some of your feedback.
Yeah.
About fucking, you know, just like love and just like positive vibes and positive energy, helping people just navigate life, because I've been on that kind of wave right now. See, I've learned about love, that love in itself is like life, in the sense where there's good and evil, and neither one can exist without the other, you know? So for love to exist, there has to be the highs and like, oh, this is love, and there has to be heartbreak and sadness, which makes love a very dangerous thing. So I always want people to be careful when it comes to like who they love or who they give their love to be more exact. Because people are, as of nature, you know, evil and bad. We're flawed, and we take advantage of other things when we see weakness to help ourselves. And not everyone's like that, but it's in our nature at some point. So you just got to be careful who you give that love to and who you give your friendship and all that energy to, because sometimes they'll take it and not give anything in return except negative energy and hold you back and things like of that nature.
Right. Yeah, I've talked about this a fair amount on the podcast. I'm not saying by any means, but I'd love to talk more. I just tweeted yesterday something that more or less a lot of people have said, but this, the way that I phrased it was, put out the same energy that you'd want to receive from others. But in the same light, you have to understand that, just like you were saying, and I'll basically word for word quote Neil Donald Walsh from his series of books, Conversations with God. He was saying, basically, the highest extent of fear is love. The highest extent of hate is love. It's crazy that love is the alpha and omega, really, of all, the epitome of all emotion is love, because that's all everything is. And it's crazy. A lot of people want, you know, might even hear this podcast, but I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but it's not, it's deeper than it sounds, really. Not to get all like, you know, weird on, you know, you might not, yeah. I'm not saying by any means people don't, you know, I'm not saying you're unintelligent if you don't resonate with that or if you don't understand that, but that's just, you know, I'd say that's just facts, basically, is that that's what it is, and that everything, you know, is emotion and energy that people put into things. And that I would absolutely agree that you need to, you know, I don't want to say need, but for your, it'll better you, and it'll better your surroundings and your friends and who, you know, whoever's around you, your circle of influence, whoever just happens to be in your path that day. But if you show love, kindness, positivity, like anything that you do positive is going to have, I'm not going to say it's guaranteed it's going to have a positive effect, but it's guaranteed that it's going to have a more positive effect. Like if I smile at someone in public, it's more likely that's going to have a positive effect than if I flip somebody off in public.
Yeah. And to expand on what you said on, I agree with that statement, is like emotion to like, I feel like a key to life is to master your emotions or master your energy. Like rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle, who just passed away.
Yeah,
like, man. He was saying, I don't know if you saw it on my Snapchat, but I posted the video of him talking about mastering your energy.
I did see that.
Yes, and I feel like that is a really, it's a really profound topic that I don't think a lot of people have talked about in that way. That, like, because it's truth. You put whatever you put into the universe, you're going to get out of it in some way or form. It might not be right then or right when you want it, but someday it's going to come back to you. So if you put negative energy in and keep doing negative energy, that shit's going to come back to you. Maybe not today, or you're not going to get caught doing what you're doing or any repercussions like right now, but soon that energy is going to come back to you. And it's like, oh, like a freight train hit you harder than what you put out because of the universe and karma and things like that. And so if you're always say, oh yeah, you've had a bad life and nothing's going right for you, so you're just going to put out more negative energy because the world hates me, then you're just going to keep getting that energy back and you're just going to keep cycling
100%
until you spiral and you're just going to wind up angry at the world for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, you have your reasons, but you're going to be angry and not know why life isn't bringing you the things you want or the things you feel like you deserve.
Right.
Because you're only putting out negative energy. Try to focus on your positives and things will get better.
Right. And a lot of that, I mean, you basically already explained it, but one term that I find really helpful is to notice when you're justifying things in your thought process. Just like you said, oh, I got treated like shit by that person, so I'm going to justify me treating someone else shitty because of that. Well, you can justify things in the right way, but really I found that really when you have to justify something, it's because it wasn't really the right move. If you have to doubt, if you're doubting something and you have to look for some form of confirmation for something that you did, it probably wasn't, you know, the best move you could have made. Because, you know, if I smile at that random person in public, I'm not second guessing whether or not that was a good decision. I just know there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But something I wanted to talk about, man, is that, you know, a lot of people listening to this may not be familiar with who Nipsey Hussle is. And that's really beside the fact. But, you know, to be honest, I've never listened to an entire Nipsey Hussle album, but I've heard some songs. I know who he is. And someone in, you know, I've heard some of the stuff. I saw these little surveillance tapes of, you see somebody run up on his shop and then run away. And I heard something somebody said in the locker room at the gym today was that apparently, I don't know if you've heard about this at all, but I guess Nipsey Hussle was relatively or full on trying to expose Big Pharma for some things, which I feel like a lot of people have been trying to do.
Yeah.
And he was saying something along the lines of, you know, you see this guy start to expose Big Pharma and then all of a sudden he's dead. And maybe this isn't what it seems. Maybe it wasn't just some guy that shot him. Maybe it was a government plant, because I've heard a lot of these conspiracies about the government trying to kill rappers. You know, we can go all the way back to the 90s about that conspiracy.
Yep, Tupac, so
what do you have to say about that type of stuff? And especially like people talking about Big Pharma type things.
Yeah. I have actually heard about more of the situation with Nipsey. And the thing is that what I've gathered from the information that I have, because he was shot 5 times in the body, 1 time in the head. That's military style.
Mm.
And so depending on where he was at, he was in front of his store in his hood where he's a major Crip in there. And he's been a pinnacle of that community for years. He's helped grow that community into a prosperous state. So for anyone to just be able to run up on him and shoot him is not likely. There has to be other things involved. People have to have been paid off and made for things to look like for them to get access to him, because that's not an easy thing to do, especially if he's always surrounded by gang members, you know, Crips. So they're not just going to let you run up on him and do anything, whether you're a fan or like opposition. You're going to have some type of like resistance from his group. So all that, so either they just ran up on him, that's unlikely. That's why I think it's a government plant or like something along the lines of that, because no other gang member was going to be able to do that in broad daylight, especially in broad daylight. it's just not possible.
Right. And, you know, I had thought a little bit about that, and it didn't really, you know, I was like, eh, you know, shit happens. Maybe somebody just wasn't paying attention. But when I hadn't heard that about being shot five times in the chest, one time in the head. That's just like, holy shit. You know, it makes you really think, man, like, fuck. And then, you know, on top of that, hearing about, he was talking about, you know, certain things, and it's like, it's just crazy. All these instances where nothing, I mean, some of these have been basically proven that, you know, somebody was talking and they got whacked, but not necessarily even like the hip hop scene or, you know, celebrity scene or whatever, but it just makes you think, man, about, you know, the government is crazy shit, man.
It is.
And I definitely don't trust anything relating to the U.S. government at all.
I trust the U.S. government as much as I trust the Christian church. I'll put it that way. And that's not a jab at Christianity or anything. I'm just saying they're about the same, where they're not giving us all the facts. And so we're left in the dark and we don't know anything. So if I don't know, or if I don't have a good reason or a solid reason for me to trust you, I'm not going to trust you until you've proven that trust.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that a lot of good people, like inside and outside the rap community, have been like dying. And it's usually the ones that are trying to help people. Like Nipsey Hussle, he was doing a documentary on Dr. Sebi, who was killed when he had found the cure for cancer and AIDS and all that, and he died. And so he started making a documentary about him to see what really happened. And then a couple months on.
Yeah.
He died a while. He'd actually died on my birthday, which is a real hit to the heart.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
June 18th, that's my birthday. I woke up that morning. I heard the news, like, oh, my heart. But that's besides the point. Regardless of what you feel about X and his music, the fact is that he was trying to be a better person, and he was helping people with mental illness, people that had depression or other, in like schizophrenia. He was trying to help those people not feel so alone. Me being one of those people, because I battle with depression on and off, you know. And before, I was just going through life, you know, just like trying to like hide it, and just like, oh, if I don't show it, it'll go away, and maybe no one will notice. But then I started listening to his more profound music and things that he was saying and talking about in his like live streams. I was like, okay, it is okay to feel this way, but it doesn't have to define you. You have to get out of your way and just like let it be a part of you, but don't let it control who you are. And then he died, and I was like, wow. So it seems like they're taking all of the strong ones from us that are helping guide the new generation into a better life. And that's something we gotta watch out for.
Yeah. So you think X's death was along the same lines as specifically somebody from the government that killed him, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily for the government. No. X, I feel like X's death is a little bit different. It has more to do with people that he ran with, or people he used to run with. That because X did a lot of things when he was young. I've done the research, you know, he was breaking into homes, you know, doing all this robbing and shit before he got famous and stuff like that, all this fighting. And so he had enemies, and no one was about their enemies. But at the time he was killed, he was actually making a better life for himself and for other people, and just trying to turn his life around. And then he was taken, which was a real shame. But I feel like it's okay, because if you listen to his latest project with his label, Very Rare, or no, Members Only, there's a song on there called Rebirth, where he just talks about karma and the things we were just talking about earlier, talking about, you know, if I die, to quote it, if I end up getting fucked up, or if I die some horrible tragic death, it's because I deserved it. You know, you put in, you're going to get what you get out of life regardless. So something along the lines, that's like a paraphrasing quote. I have to like go back and give you the actual quote later. But something along the lines of that was what he was talking about. I was like, I feel like, okay, he died, but you can't, don't let his death be in vain. Still move forward with like helping mental illness, and don't let it be just like an afterthought of everything else. Or same thing with Nipsey Hussle. Don't let what he was doing for his community and for the Black community in general go to waste because you're upset that he died. Help push his agenda forward and keep it out there. Because if you let his dream die there, then it's all for naught.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, back to what you were saying about, you know, depression and just sadness being a part of, you know, these are things that people, these are things that everyone feels. But it's, you know, you can take that energy and make it into creative energy. Just because you feel sad, that's not an excuse to, you know, just fucking sit on the couch all day. That's just an emotion that everyone feels, and you can use that emotion to fuel your creativity in whatever you're doing it, period. So it's just, you know, it's, I don't, what do you have to say about the whole like sad boy aesthetic thing that, you know, it kind of relates to like Lil Peep or like Suicide Boys. Like people think it looks cool to be sad. Like, how do you feel about that?
I've been a part of that from time to time, you know, that old sad boy thing. When it first started, I was like, oh yeah, I'm a sad boy, you know. It, basically, it's the same thing as like the emo trend back in the day, like back in the early 2000s. Yeah, it's really all it is, it's reappropriated. So like, I mean, I'm not necessarily a big fan of it. Like, I feel like it's become a lot more like meme culture nowadays. So like, oh, they just do it for the aesthetic, do it just to seem different and cool. That's not really who some of those people are. And some of those people are maybe like that, but everyone doing it is not like that. It's like, oh, I want to do it because I feel like it's cool and I can get girls off of this, or I can get a huge social media presence off of this. And they use it to capitalize on, those things. So it is what it is. You know, it's fun from time to time. Oh yeah, sad boy, if she leaves me, it makes me cry. You know, that's just what it is right now. So it's really nothing major.
Yeah.
But it's not something you shouldn't be like focusing on. Like that shouldn't be your whole personality.
Right.
Sad boy.
Right. Yeah. It's not something I have a problem with, but it's not something that I, you know, I want my, when people, if someone sees my face or if someone sees the name of my podcast, et cetera, et cetera, I want nothing but peace, love, positivity, and unity to be associated with that. I don't want anything to be, oh, it's a, you know, let's focus on positivity and not negativity. And, you know, sadness isn't, like I said, sadness isn't necessarily negative, but most people, if I were to say, hey, is being sad negative or positive? They probably say negative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's just my outlook on that. But I feel like it basically is exactly what you said. It's the whole, it's the emo trend. I got a fucking My Chemical Romance CD sitting here in my room. It's basically that, but now we're using hip hop instead of alternative music. You know, it's the same thing.
Exactly. Like the other day, like I still catch myself doing it, doing like the sad boy stuff sometimes. Like I'll go shopping and I'll see like, oh, this, look, it's a Green Day t-shirt. I'm gonna just buy it just for the aesthetic, just because, oh, not because I actually like Green Day. I'm like a big fan of them. They're all right. But I just bought it like, oh, like, you know, shit looks cool and girls will like this because, you know, it's sad. It's a like whole like vibe thing.
Yeah.
So I catch myself doing it from time to time, but I don't make it a habit of like it being my biggest personality trait.
Yeah, yeah. Green Day made a lot of I wouldn't call them sad across the board, but a lot of their shit was kind of sad-ish or like bittersweet kind of style. But so I would say you probably so you don't have a problem with people, for example, people wearing NASCAR shit because it's aesthetic when they've never watched a NASCAR. I'm not a NASCAR fan. I'm never going to wear anything NASCAR because I'm not a NASCAR fan. That's just me. If you see me wearing a t-shirt from a band, it's because I heavily, heavily fuck with that band. You'll never see me wearing an AC/DC t-shirt or a Metallica shirt because I don't listen to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think that's a problem at all? Or it seems like more and more people are becoming okay with that, that it's just an aesthetic thing. That's the band tee thing is one thing that it really still irks me. If you're wearing an AC/DC shirt and you can't even tell me like five AC/DC songs, that just bothers me. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. Oh, this is funny because I was actually having this conversation with my boss the other day because I recently came into work to check my schedule and I was wearing a tie-dye Pink Floyd Dark of the Moon t-shirt.
Yeah.
He got so upset because he knew for a fact that I didn't really listen to Pink Floyd. I couldn't name any songs off that album.
Oh, no, bro. Yeah, I don't like that either, bro.
I know, but like, it's not because like, I bought the shirt because I like the colors, but I did know who Pink Floyd was, so I'm not like totally ignorant to them or any of the band tees I wear. I don't like, I just like, oh yeah, I like the design of that shirt and I do like the band. I'm not, I can't give you like, oh, a whole catalog of songs because I don't necessarily listen to a whole lot of rock music. I have a set playlist in my iPhone, but it's not like a super expensive, like I don't have a lot of Beatles, I don't have a lot of Avenged Sevenfold or stuff like that. I have certain songs from certain people because I like those certain songs and I fuck with the genre as a whole and I use it for research for when I'm writing other songs and experimenting with beats and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I will tell you, I have a massive Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon tapestry in my room here as well, but fucking, I've always been a huge proponent of if you are a fan of an artist, like, I've always listen to albums from front to back, and I was just raised on classic rock and roll. I didn't get into hip-hop music until ninth grade, really, so it's crazy. Like, I'm discovering all this shit still, and my friends are like, yeah, I was listening to that in seventh grade. It's been, I'm like, bro, this shit, you know, I'm listening to Nas and shit, catching these lines. I'm like, bro,
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, well, you know, we were listening to Nas in seventh grade, and I'm like, I wasn't, man. I was listening to Pink Floyd, but I'll tell you right now, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, it's obviously the most well-known Pink Floyd album, partially just because of, like you said, the aesthetic of the album cover and a lot. But that album, from front to back, is absolutely one of the best albums that will ever be made, period. It's an incredible work of art, I will tell you that. But
I might have to actually go back and download the whole album and give it a look through.
It's one of those albums I would say you're going to either want to be alone with a decent stereo system, or you're going to want to have some headphones in. It's one of those for sure.
Okay.
That's really how I feel about a lot of music. Like, you know, like, especially when we're talking about really lyrical, like, rap music. Like, if I'm listening to, you know, Nas, for example, or A Tribe Called Quest, or the Fugees, you know, anything that's really, really lyrical.
Yeah.
It's not really music that I'm all the time going to put around in, like a get-together or a party setting, because I'm like, really, I like this. You know, they're always dope beats, but I'm like, I appreciate this so much because these people are so lyrical, like so lyrical, and it's, you know, it's something that really, you're not really gonna, you know, I'll listen to an album four times in my headphones and still I'm not gonna catch, you know, a line in a song until I've heard it four times, you know, until, especially some of these really deep lines, you're like, oh shit, you know, it happens all the time. I'll be listening to a reference and get the fucking, listen to a song and I don't get the reference until I've heard the song 30 times. And I'm like, oh shit. You know, he's like mind blown.
Yeah.
Like you've heard something over and over, but you really didn't catch what they really meant until the 40th time hearing it.
Exactly. Like, I feel like a lot of music, like my favorite artists are ones that I can't necessarily play in like a group setting unless we're all trying to like vibe. Like if we're trying to have like fun and be like, be hype, then I can't play like, my favorite artist, like music, I can't play a lot of Jaden Smith, because they're not those type of artists that have a lot of hype music. They have a certain couple songs that pop for people and that are like mainstream, but those are all those people listen to. Like, I found my, like, you know, with the Banty thing, how you say you don't like how people like they'll have this on, and but one can't name you five songs. I feel the same way when Jaden Smith's album came out, Sire. I was like, oh, like everybody just listened to Icon, and that's all. They was like, oh, have you heard Icon? It's a great song. It's like, yes, it is, but have you listened to the whole album? There's more in-depth things that he talks about in that album than just, yeah, oh, I'm just an Icon living.
I have not listened to Jaden Smith hardly at all. I've heard like that song he's on that Drake album, More Life, or just like random. He's definitely someone I know I should be checking out though. I'm on that wave. Same shit, man. I want to hear the whole album. I want to hear what he's got to say when it's, you know. But I am, I mean, everybody's guilty of it sometimes when you're like, yeah, I just know the one song.
Yeah. And it happens a lot nowadays, you know, just the mainstream thing is like people just like, oh, yeah, this is what's put in front of us. So this is what we're going to like and this is what we're going to listen to.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of people won't go further in into like the artists. Like if I recommend you check out that album because it's really a great album to listen to you by yourself.
What's the album called again? I'm gonna write it down.
It's called Sire. It's Syre.
Okay, word.
And then he actually put out another album a couple months back. It's called, I think I have it in my music. Hold on, let me see. There's another pretty good album where it has a song on there that I really think you should check out. It's called Play This on a Mountain at Sunset. It's a really vibey song, something you're going to want to smoke to or, you know, just chill out and just, like, take it all in, just listen to everything that he's saying because it's just that type of feel. The other album is called, hold up. Oh, the Sunset Tapes.
It's called the Sunset Tapes?
Yes.
Word. Yeah, I'll definitely check both those out. I'm always looking for new music. It seems like every time that I'm out of, like, I've always had people sending me shit, and I'm like, yep, I'm listening to that album in the gym, or when I gotta drive somewhere, or whatever, or just, you know, when I'm doing my stretching in the morning, or whatever, and then as soon as I'm like, ah, nobody has anything for me, I either hit shuffle on my playlist, and I go back to my same shit. It's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm usually waiting for somebody to tip me off about something. I don't really, I have before just like scrolled through like Apple Music or like YouTube just to see like, you know, who's new. But usually we know, we've heard the names. All you got to do is, oh yeah, I've heard of that name. And then just type them in and then go from there. But sometimes I really get stuck where I'm like, I don't know what I'm in the mood for, whether I want rap or R&B or fucking metal even. You know, I've always been back and forth listening to some pretty heavy music. It comes in phases, but it's just, I'm always waiting for people to, I'm always open for people to give me something to listen to.
Oh, of course. Actually, I'll send you a list, bro. I have a couple different artists that some of them are mainstream, some of them are not, but certain songs they have that I think you'll probably really enjoy. Like, do you like electric music?
Yeah, all? I like everything. Yeah.
Well, that's perfect because bringing up Jaden Smith again, he actually has another, like, it's the same album as Sire, but it's the original version of it, and it's all, like, alternative beats. So it's, like, all alternative music sounding.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I like that type of shit.
But
I like all the different, you know, alternative takes, demo takes, remixes. Like, a lot of, like, you know, certain artists will put out an album, and then there'll be that one big song off the album. And then they'll have like an EP that's just that song. And then it's like eight different mixes, and eight different people mix that song. You know,
yeah.
It's like, sometimes I'll listen to the whole, but it's like, you know, after a while you're like, yeah, it is the same song and everybody mixed it differently. But it's like, you know, listening to the same song eight times in a row, it's like,
it's kind of draining.
I'm only listening to that once. If I make it through that EP, I'm probably not going back to it again. It's like a one-time deal.
Yeah. It's like, all right, I've exhausted my love for this song for the moment. Let me take a break.
That happens so much. I feel like this is just one example. It's like the biggest example I can think of is that I found or someone sent me Bad and Bougie on SoundCloud like the fucking first day or two that it came out. And I was showing it to people, and they were like, oh, this shit's hard. And then what do you know, 6 weeks later, you know, and then the music video, and I'm like, dude, I was exhausted from this song before it even got famous.
Yeah. See, like, I listen to that song, like, very rarely nowadays, and, like, whenever I do, I just skip to Lil Uzi's part, because that's my favorite part of the song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, that, and that happens with a lot of music nowadays, like, not with just hip-hop or rap, it happens with pop, R&B, a lot of rap music does it too. So, like, whatever's like, oh, this is the new thing, the radio station's gonna play it and play it and play it. And so, like, you get sick of it, and then they're gonna play it some more. Cause that's what's giving, having people tune in. Cause, oh, yeah, we wanna hear this song, and we wanna hear this song, and this song. And they'll just keep on hammering it into your skulls until you can't take no more.
Yup. Fucking. I mean, I had something to say. Oh, here's something I was gonna flame you. I'm not gonna lie. I think you're the first guest. Were you snacking on something earlier?
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, bro. I was just saying you're officially the first guest to eat on the podcast, and I knew it was gonna happen at some point.
Okay. Well, put me in the Hall of Fame.
What were you snacking on? We gotta know.
Some Mickey D's, man. I was hungry, so before the podcast, I went out and got me some Mickey D's.
It happens, bro. It happens.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it wasn't a fucking crunchy granola bar or some shit.
Oh, yeah, no. I had those in the house, but I was like, that's probably going to be loud as shit. I can chew a sandwich quieter than I can do a...
Yeah. There's no way around. You're eating a granola bar, people going to hear you.
People going to be like, what the fuck is he talking about? I can't hear him off the sound of that crackling.
Me and my boy were talking about just the other day. We were just talking about being loud in class back when you're supposed to be quiet. And I feel like one thing that was common at our elementary middle school was that, you know, you would take a test, and then after the test, you had to sit at your desk. But people would bring, like, hot Cheetos into class.
Oh, yeah.
And just be eating them bitches so loud, like, crunching the bag, chewing with your mouth open. And, like, everybody can hear you because, like, you're the first one done with the test. You're the first one to crack open the snacks. Dude, oh, man.
It's like, fuck, everybody's looking at you like, really, dog?
Bro, something that I still don't understand to this day that I remember for some period of time was relatively popular at our school was that these fucking kids would put, and I know you know what I'm talking about, and I need some elaboration if you have any insight on this of why the fuck this was ever a thing. But kids would take the Ziploc bag and put, like, sugar and Kool-Aid in the bag and then just, like, lick your finger and stick it in the bag and then lick it off your finger. What the fuck?
Oh, I remember that shit. That was at Paramount, right?
Yeah. What the fuck was up with that, dude?
I don't know. I knew a couple people who did it and, like, I asked them, it was like, they couldn't really give me a good explanation. It was like, it's just good, man. It was like, you should try it. It's like, you're just eating sugar, man. It's just
yeah, it wasn't,
pure sugar.
You know, it wasn't bad. It was tasty, but it would fuck your finger. Fingers would be fucked up for like days.
Yeah, it's like, you're have like a whole, like, all your fingers would be like red as fuck. And like, dude, didn't you wash? It was like, yeah. It just hasn't come off. Like, you should stop doing that. And it's like, I should, but I'm not. It's like, whatever. Like, I can't do anything. I'm only 12 years old. You're 12, too.
Yeah. We were just kind of, you know, you would see something and you would just go with it. You wouldn't really question it. And, you know, you question it and nobody would give you a straight answer. You're like, well, I don't, you know, I'm not hurting anything.
Yeah.
No. I feel like that was like, I know Fun Dip had to have been around before that.
Of course. That was around forever.
I feel like that it's essentially Fun Dip minus the, you know, the fucking, it looks like a piece of chalk or whatever the fuck they give you.
Yeah, the little stick.
So it's just like, yeah.
It's fucking broke Fun Dip.
Or what's up with the girls dyeing their hair with Kool-Aid?
What?
You didn't hear about that?
No, that was a thing.
That was something I remember seeing at least a couple girls, and it was when you remember when, like, just dyeing, like, the girls were dyeing, like, just the tips of their hair?
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, you just you just dip your hair in the Kool-Aid. Because, like, hair dye is expensive. Now we're just back to broke shit.
Wow. Maybe that shit did happen around me. I just didn't notice it. But that shit is crazy.
Like, I'm like, holy, you're dyeing your hair? And that shit worked.
Yep.
But I would assume, well, I guess, you know, I shouldn't assume, but I would think that it wouldn't stay in your hair as long as hair dye, but that shit, it might have.
Maybe.
I mean, that shit would stay in your fingers for a few days.
I know that shit couldn't be good for their fucking hair.
No way.
Not at all. But I know that shit did evolve. That shit did get dangerous, like, with the whole broke fun dip thing. Like, when I went to eighth grade in South Carolina, when I moved down here, people were doing something totally worse. They were grabbing, like, the to-go Hawaiian punch packets, right?
Yes.
They would take those, rail them out, and just snort them like they were cocaine. And I was like,
no!
Yo, what the fuck are you doing? And they would do it in class. I'm like, yo, this is not okay. Well, we're like 14 years old. Why are you snorting Hawaiian punch dust like it's cocaine?
Yeah. Bro, that's like, probably like worse than doing cocaine.
Like, you could die like instantly.
This is like, you know, like nowadays you see like the Tide, you know, dabbing Tide Pods. That's a whole new level of stupidity, but like, yeah. I feel like I don't want to say our generation started doing stupid shit like that. I just want to know what the fuck was like. I feel like our parents weren't doing shit this stupid. Like, our parents were like, you know, smoking cigarettes at 13 instead. That just, you know, that makes a little more sense than snorting Kool-Aid or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Snorting a Hawaiian punch.
See, I have a theory about where all this shit started. And I want to say it didn't necessarily start with our generation, but we did kind of have a hand in helping it pick up steam. Because, you know, back in the day when you're young, you're like, oh, like, because our generation really found out a lot about drugs, like, earlier than we were supposed to. So we knew about, like, cocaine and fucking weed and all this other shit, like, at 10, 11 years old. And so we were like, oh, yeah, it's still bad. We're not going to do it. But it'd be funny if we pretend to do it with this.
Exactly. It would be funny. Bro, that was the number one excuse for, like, anything stupid was like, yeah, but it's funny, though.
Yeah, and like, I get it, and like, I'm not gonna say it's bad because it kind of is bad, but I'm not gonna knock it because, you know, it was just out of fun. But you should definitely be more aware than what you're doing when you're trying to be funny, because it could lead to a lot of serious consequences.
Yeah,
like, I think like a lot of people in America should stop doing things just because it's funny. Like, that's how we got Trump. Because people loved how I feel like a lot of people loved how he was, not because of his politics, maybe some diehard Republicans fucked with his politics, but he won over everybody. He won over a lot of his support by just being a troll, by being funny and not taking it super serious like everybody else did. So he was the standout. Like, oh, we can relate to this guy. He's being funny. He's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, fuck you. I'll grab it right by the pussy, all the other shit. Just basically being a walking meme, and he won the presidency off of that. So it's dangerous, because now you got other people thinking they can do the same thing. Like Kanye, apparently he's going to run for president in 2020. And that could be more dangerous.
I thought he said he wasn't going to do that. Is he actually?
From what I've heard lately, he said he's still planning on running.
Oh, man.
So, that's a dangerous thing. I love Kanye to death. He's like, give me my top five artists. He's number one every time, no matter what. I love his production. I love his interviews, his music. Like, he is like my idol as far as it comes to me making music and doing all this. But I can't condone his behavior right now, because it doesn't seem like he's being very clear. Now, maybe if I got a chance to talk to Kanye and see his whole vision, I would get it and I could support it. But just being a fan looking on the inside, it's like, this is not a good look. I can't do it.
Yeah, you know, I love Kanye as well. I think he's an amazing artist, an amazing individual. I like a lot of what he has to say, but I'm right there with you, man. And I don't think, for one, I don't think any one man should be running the country. So I don't think Kanye West is that guy, especially because I don't think anybody is that guy.
Yeah.
But one thing I was going to ask you that you might – I've honestly – I was a while where I was listening to NPR, like, every day, trying to get a non-biased source of just what was going on. And, you know, the news is just so more or less negative these days that I just feel like, I, you know, you get – like, there's shit that's unavoidable. If you're on social media, you're going to see what's going on. If something's big enough that it's actually going to maybe affect your life, you're going to hear about it. But I don't even know – is the fucking, do we know, is this fucking wall gonna be made? Do we know?
See, that's the thing. I've heard so many things about the wall. It's like, oh yeah, it's being made. I was like, oh, whatever. And then it's like, oh, a couple months later, popular, like there's like a million, like $17 million being put into the wall's building by like donators. I'm like, $17 million for a wall when that could have been spent on like housing for like the homeless or other like or outsource relief shit that actually matters, and they're spending, oh yeah, let's put it all on this wall. It's like, do what you want with your money, but you're not helping the problem. You're just only like adding on to it by trying to, oh yes, this will solve, like this wall will solve all of America's problems.
No,
we have way more problems than the wall. That's not our biggest problem.
Yeah, not at all.
And it's like, and it's sad because like I love this world. I love America. I love this world. But like, at this rate we're going, it's gonna be, it's just gonna be bad for everyone involved. And that's why I feel like I get when people say they don't want to have kids now because they don't want to bring a child into this world because it's unfair. And it really is sometimes because you have all this shit going on with the cops, killing innocent people, not just black people, but innocent people in general, and they're getting away with it. And then you have all this segregation and hatred that's coming back because Trump won the presidency, because now people feel like, oh, since he's in now and he said he doesn't like this and that, we are free to be able to just go out and do all this crazy shit. Because you won't believe how many stories I've seen on online saying about people that who've gotten lynched in other states, like in broad daylight. And it's like, this is not okay. This is not how we become one as a people. Now it's becoming more divided because people like this, and it's just not a good world to live in right now. We can try to make it better, but at the end of the day, it's good with evil. So we can make it better all we want, but there's always going to be that spot of black that's going to stay there because it's a battle.
You know, I would say that, you know, it's, I don't want to make it seem like it's a long shot by saying this, but it is so easy to see all the fuck shit going on. But overall, man, I would say that at least, you know, I don't even want to narrow it down. I want to say that it is a good world to live in because we're living. But, you know, and then you look at, like, well, what about people that are literally starving? They're probably not, like, the world's awesome. It's crazy to think about, like, you know, we have the smallest little inconvenience, and we're like, oh, my God, this world sucks to live in. You know, there's people that are right now literally, like, about to die. There's people dying right now because they can't find food to feed their bodies. Like, that's shitty. And it makes it seem like the world is shitty, but it's like overall, I guess, you know, the world is okay. It's not, it's just as of, you know we're killing the planet. It's just, this is such a weird topic to talk about. Is the world a good place or a bad place right now because of everything going on? And, you know, is it better now than it was before technology, blah, blah, blah? Is technology really helping us progress? Well, it is, and it isn't, and it feels like everything's so opinionated, really.
Yeah, everything is, like, a hot-button issue now. Like, things that really, like, that were, like, just, like, topic of conversation are, like, can trigger people. Like, oh, you believe this? This is wrong, blah, 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 and they just go off. like, yo, like, I was just making a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Comedy's a whole different story. Some people just don't understand comedy. Like, you can make fun of anything. I don't think there should be a line with comedy. I think we should be able to talk about rape, abortion, and be a line because it's a joke.
Yeah. Now, it's one thing if, like, you take it too far, because there are things you can take too far, like, oh, like, okay, say, like, if there's a, do you know who Pete Davidson is?
Maybe. Who is he?
He's a comedian. He was on SNL. He's still on SNL, actually. He was actually in the news a while back for dating Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
So, he has a stand-up special out where he talks about his dead dad. His dad died in 9/11. And it's like, he talks about that frequently. And it's like, oh, yeah. What was one of the jokes? He was like, so this, I'm like kind of like the French Montana of comedy, is very like, fuck, shit, my dick, dead dad, and then we're out of here. It's like, and he tells people, like, yo, if you don't like the first joke about 9/11, you're probably not going to like the rest of them, so you should fucking leave, because yeah. I don't want you here if you're not going to enjoy yourselves. These are all jokes. I've moved on. I'm okay with, like, what happened. So, like, a joke he said was like, oh, yeah, his dad died, and his mom came and said, hey, your dad died, but what you got you, a PS2. And he was like, sweet. Like, this is about to be my new life of murdering toys. I'm about to push my mom down the stairs for a PS3 and an Xbox 360. It's like, that was funny. And people were like, in the crowd, like, oh, like, what are you on about? It's his life. Like, he knows, like, it's okay. It's a joke. So it's like, people kind of get really triggered for other people a lot, which is, I don't understand that, because people will, like, get offended for other people. So, oh, like, so what are you exactly defending them for? They can defend themselves. If they had a problem with it, they would say, hey, please don't do this, or please don't say this. I take offense to it. It's not your job to defend other people.
Right, right. Yeah, how I always put it is, if you get offended, you deserve to be offended. I don't really get offended. You know, if someone's coming at you personally at something, that may be a little different. But, hey, brother, I don't know if you've been watching the clock. I think I told you this podcast is limited at an hour right now.
Oh, so we got like 3 minutes.
We got like 3 minutes, but you are more than welcome. I would love to have you on another time. I feel like we got a lot more to talk about. But in these last 3 minutes, if there's anything and everything that you want to plug, put out there, if you got a mixtape or album out or your social media, I'll put your media in the description. I already told you I'd do that for you, but anything out there you want people to check out or anything else you want to say?
Oh, yeah, let me plug some things real quick, and I'll, if you don't mind, I'll read a little excerpt from a song I just read in, today. So you can follow me on Snapchat at KRose, KAYE _Rose. My Instagram is Mother Maziah. That's Mother, and it's MEZIAH. And then this is from a song that I wrote about a girl that I'm really fond of and kind of in love with. It's called Biggest Fan. I don't have my guitar or anything with me, so I'm going to just try to harmonize it for you. I can't sing, so here it goes. Baby, I just want to tell you something. Girl, you're my best friend. I know you've been hurt before. I'll heal all the damage. Girl, I just want to see you shine. Baby, I'm your biggest fan. If I give you my heart, girl, promise you'll never break it. Whoa, whoa. And we're running out of time, so that's all I'm going to give you. Just hit me up on my social medias, and I would love to come back for another episode, man. Make it a part two.
Absolutely. We'll definitely put that in the works. We'll lock that in, you know. You can come on whenever you want, man. Anytime you want to plug anything or have something to say, you know, this platform is open. So, you know, spread the word. Conscious Cast. Thank you, bro, for coming on. I appreciate you. We're going to leave the people on, you know. Oh, I thought that was beautiful what you wrote, by the way. That was great.
Thank you.
So, all right. Thanks for listening, people. Peace, love, and unity. Peace, love, and
unity. Peace.